Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
That they went separate ways. How many of you know that that could have been a door? And it's like God is going to divide these two great men that were going on missions trips. So now they're divided. Paul takes Silas and he goes one direction. Barnabas takes someone else and he goes another direction. But yet the gospel is going. But here they go now. They get to this region, and I think there's a map that's going to be coming up here real shortly. Is that right? Here it is. Now, they had started. Can y'all see that little red dot? Boy, I got this at home, and I give Janice fits with this because I have a little clock on our mantle, and I can shoot that clock with this thing, and it sparkles. It looks like it's on fire, and it sends red rays all over the house, and she's always coming, "What is that? What is that?" I said, "That's just a little button I have control of right here." But here they are, right in here. And this is where John Mark begins to go back home. But yet they're going, and they're going to bring the gospel. How many of you know that we're supposed to bring the gospel to all nations, to all people? They had the right mindset, and they were doing the right thing. But when they got to about right here, they started to turn and go down into Asia. This is all Asia in this part. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit forbid them to go there. So they said, okay, if we can't go there, then we will turn and we will go up into Bethania, up into this part. And they started to go there, and the Bible says, immediately the Spirit forbid them to go that direction. Have you ever got to a closed door in your life? And you said up front, you know, I think this is God's will that I go to that. We will all face closed doors. I want you to know the Scripture is full of God. God has a vision. God's plan, let me put it this way. God's plan never ends at a closed door. You need to understand that. If you can get that in your spirit today, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But you need to know that God's plan never stops at a closed door. You may get to a closed door, but His plan for you never stops right there. Because there's more things that He's got for you, and you have to start searching and seeking and keep moving about what to do, and God will begin to open another door. God has a vision and a plan for your life, and it includes doors. Tell somebody that. Say, God's got a plan for your life, and it's going to include doors. Do you know how crazy looking a house would be if it did not have a door in it? Do you know how stupid this building would be if it did not have doors in it? Because that's a place of entry, that's a place of exit. We have to use these doors. We are to, as the children of God, realize that God's got a plan for us. And part of that plan has got some closed doors and some open doors. And it's up to us to listen to what the Spirit of God says to go to the right place. And I want to challenge you today because some of you are going to run up against closed doors. If you go through the Scripture, you can see where Moses ran up against closed doors, opposition. Noah ran up against closed doors. You name it. David run up against closed doors. Abraham, Joseph, Gideon. They all had their time with closed doors. But did they stop there? No, they did not. We will face closed doors. That is that closed door that's got that big emphatic no on it. Sometimes you may be going and you say, you know, this is God's will for me to go through that door. The Bible says, whatsoever I desire in my heart, and if I say to this mountain, be thou removed, and God's promises are yes and amen, and that means that I can go through that door. And God's going to slam that door right in your face at times. And it's going to make you wonder, what happened? Where did I go wrong? Did I miss God or did God miss me? He ought to know me and He ought to know I was doing a good thing when that door shut in my face. We got to come to that place and recognize those when that happens. If an open door opens in our life, we share testimonies about it. Someone's been out of work. Somebody's lost something. Somebody's lost their job. Whatever happens, and we pray as a group, and we do that on Wednesday nights here, and we do it all during the week. Pray for people in this church. Breakthroughs that would happen. A door of healing that would happen in people's lives. A door of prosperity. And when that happens, we celebrate that. We have testimony time. God has opened a great effectual door. Or I've been trying to get in that area of town for years, or in that country for years, and there was no way I could get there. But God opened the door. And we will recognize that as being a God thing. But sometimes when God closes one, we say, that's not God. My heart was fixed on doing that. And I got scripture to back up what I think I have right here. And why did that door get shut in my face? Why did that person get sick? Why did that person lose their job? Why did that person lose their home? Why? And what we're saying is, God, you're not in that. But we need to, as Christians, come to the place to where an open door is just as important as a closed door. I get four amens out of that. See, I know this message is for us. Because sometimes, how many of you got more no doors in your life than you had yes doors? You know, just be honest with us. You don't have to raise your hand. But we need to understand that God, if God is in control, He's going to close some doors sometimes. And we shouldn't come up and say, well, that was a satanic thing, or that was not God. Maybe we ought to just back up and say, you know what? I think it might have been God. And just face up to the reality and say, you know what? I can't change God with this closed door, but God can change me through this closed door. He can give me a different outlook on what I need to be looking at. That is not scripture. When we claim an open door to be God and a closed door not to be God, that is not scriptural. And I want to tell you, we need to treat the open and the closed doors the same. It could be His greatest kindness to close the doors. I remember when I was in school and I was dating this girl. And I thought I was madly in love. I was crazy anyway. But I come to find out it wasn't. And God shut that door. And I just moaned and groaned for about 6 months. Oh, I lost my girlfriend. You know, I know none of y'all ever went through that. But you know how you feel. It just makes you feel rotten. You feel dejected, put off, and everything else about it. And then one day I was standing on Main Street and the band was coming down the street. And Janice was leading the Kangarettes. And I said, this might be a new door coming here. This is a God thing. Well, for 47 years, I've been standing in that doorway. Had I went the other way, I have no idea where I would have been. But I did see that girl after about 10 years of being married to Janice one day, and it was like, thank God that door shut. And I'm saying that in a good way. Sometimes God says no to the thing that you want the most of all. Sometimes it's a recollection or a reset button. Aren't you glad that God's got a reset button? You know, because we'll go and we'll proceed on and we'll get to a spot and we'll get to where we can't go any further. Nothing is going our way. Nothing is going God's way. And it's like we stop. And God just hits the reset button. And then we can clear out and go again. Get our mind clear. I used to drive my youngest son crazy. He was trying to show me how to use a computer. And he would tell me what to do and how to log off and all that kind of stuff. And I would get somewhere, I didn't know where I was going, and it's like, this is driving me crazy. And I would just hit the off button and just shut it down. Well, I'd go tell him, there's something wrong with the computer, it's not working right. And he'd go turn it on. He said, Daddy, you got 15 programs running. You can't hit the reset button. I said, that thing is in my house, it's my computer, it's my reset button, I'm hitting it. Because I know if I go back and turn it on, it's not going to have all that stuff that was on there. Now, our life needs to be that way sometimes. When we get to a place where we're messing up, we are overloaded with things, we need to come and hit the reset button. And how many of you know that you can go and ask the Lord and repent, and He will give you a reset? Amen? There are some good things about that. Acts 16:6, it says, two no's and one yes. A closed door is a closed door. When we see a closed door, we ought to recognize that thing as being closed. It's not open, it is closed. No matter what you do, we don't understand it, but God does. You see, when we look at that closed door, we don't have a clue what's behind that door, but we know one thing, it's closed. There are some things that we need to look at sometimes. It's not a satanic door, a roadblock. One thing it had years ago, y'all remember Mike Bush when he was here? Well, Mike, he was our children's pastor at one time, and he loved to have little snake objects. And I'm not talking about rubber snakes, okay? I'm talking about real live snakes. Non-poisonous, green, grassy, garter snakes. You know, the berries here, you remember those. You used to handle them too. But in my old office in the front building up there, I had an office that was basically a storage room. And when I first came on staff, I went in there and tore all the shelves out of it. And I had an office. It was like 8 foot by 7 foot by 4 foot. It was kind of a trapezoid looking shape. Well, after we moved into this building one time, we went up there and we used that for Mike's storage place. Well, he put some snakes in an aquarium up there. 4 or 5 little green grassy snakes in that aquarium. And then he left and went to Mexico on a missions trip. And somebody said they needed something out of that room. Oh, and another thing about that office was when you opened the door, you had to open the door all the way back and walk into the office. And I had a light switch with a light in the switch itself so you could find it on the wall. It wasn't on the wall like most light switches. Okay, you got that picture? So I go up there to get something, and I put my key in there, and I open the door, and I start walking, and it's something mushy on the floor. And I walked on in, and I flipped the light switch on, and when I did and turned around, the whole floor was covered with green, grassy snakes. There was literally hundreds of them in there. Well, a lot of them died with cerebral hemorrhage. Because I stomped every one of them in the head on the way out of there. But that was a door that I did not know what was behind. And when I touched that light switch and looked, I'm not, if we ever handle snakes at this church, I'm going to be the first one to move my letter from here. I will make you a brand new door at that wall right there. I don't like them. But sometimes there's things behind doors that we don't need to go in. There's harmful things. Now, thank God these were just little grass snakes. They wouldn't hurt you no more than a lizard would, but they will make you hurt yourself. And that's all that matters. But sometimes we just need to get away from that kind of stuff. Don't, when God says a door is closed, don't go any further. Don't go there. Don't even go near that door because God has closed that door. Now, we may not understand that, and we may start questioning God about why did you shut that door? I felt like my whole life was going and funneling into this situation, and you shut that door right in my face. Why did you do that? Does anybody else ever do that kind of stuff? I do. I mean, I'm open and honest with God. It's a wonder sometimes you don't strike me out. But He don't. He loves me. But He likes for me to ask Him about things because I'm going to ask Him, Lord, if you shut that door, where's that next door? Where's the next door you want me to go to? It's important that we know that. But when Paul got to these two doors, they were shut. And you think he ever had something in his mind about, Lord, I'm doing your work. I'm going to bring the gospel to these people that have never heard it. And you tell me not to go in that region. And then I turn and you say, don't go there to that region. That's two doors faced back to back that you shut down. But there was something about Paul that he kept on moving. He just kept on plodding along. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. A closed door is a closed door. Some are slammed. Sometimes we even push it open, try to push it open. And God says, no, you don't really. No, we say, God says, we say, you don't really mean that. Your word says yes and amen. Your promises say yes to those that believe. And sometimes we'll get to a door. It'll be just like this. And it'll have personnel only on it. Have you ever got to one of those? You're not welcome to go in there. I got a card in my wallet from the Lady of the Lake, a little plastic credit card thing that I have to clip on when I make hospital visits. And I go in there. And when they see that badge, I'm authorized to go wherever I want to go in that hospital. That card will get me a free parking spot in the garage and it will get me a cup of coffee or Coke. And that's where my authority stops. But I can go through a door. I can go where most people can't go because that card says I can go there. I can go to that door that says authorized personnel only, no visiting hours, and I can. They see that card with my picture on it, and they'll say, okay, you pass, you come on, you know. And I've watched other people come, and they'll try to go in, and they'll stop them, say, no, you're unauthorized to go in there. Are y'all getting this? Yeah. See, there are things that God wants us to learn sometimes at a door. It's not that He basically don't want you to go there. He just wants you to learn who you are and things about your life. Basically, to get authorized to go into that door. And then there are doors that's got times on it. Now, how many of you know that God's time is not the same as our time? We get somewhere. Have you ever gone to the bank and you needed to deposit something like really quick so you could get on to work? And they don't open until 9 o'clock. And you get there at 8:45. And you're sitting there. I went to the Medicare office the other day. I'm now 65. I am a red, white, and blue card holding senior citizen. You know, whatever that means. But I had to go there and I had to stand in line and wait. And I'm watching all these people. They walk by and they look at you. Inside the ones. And all of us outside were just sitting there in the rain watching them. And it's like, surely they'll open that. They see us out here in the rain. Surely they're going to open that door. Well, they didn't do it. And I kept waiting, and I was looking at these other people, and this lady in front of me, she says, why don't they just have a little mercy on us and let us on in there? Don't they know that we're older people? And it's like, ma'am, would you be quiet, please? I already got an ARP card, and I don't like that. And I'm already 65, and I'm not real happy with that. And I don't like standing in this rain, and I'm going to wait for that door to open. But when it got time, they opened the door. Now, sometimes we can be the same way with God. He will leave a door shut, and we will stand there, and we will moan and groan and complain about everything. But He is not going to open that door until the time comes. Now, we can go at times and want to get in, and it's like, oh, man, it's open at 9, it's only 8. 8:45. And then sometimes we'll kick on it, you know. Surely somebody will hear. And we'll try to pry it open and we'll look in there and we really still can't see anything. You know why? Because it's a closed door. That means don't go there. And I've learned if a door is closed, God is not there. See, we need to get that in our spirit. If a door is closed, that means that God is not at that door. He is somewhere else. So why should we be camping out at this door when God is somewhere else? And then we begin to blame God. Then we begin to say, where did I go wrong? Where is God? Why don't I feel God? Why, when I pray, my prayers don't go up? And I feel so confused and hurt about this because I have knocked on that door. Jesus did not He say that? He says, if you knock and keep on asking, it will be opened. But sometimes He says, I'm not there. Don't go knock on that door because I don't live at that door. Are y'all getting this? How many hours, how many years do people stay at a door sometimes and continue to beat on it and want to go in there and God is not there? Don't even go there. He has moved to another location. Paul knew that. And when God told him, He said, don't go down to Asia, he didn't go. And when He told him, He said, don't go to Bithynia, then he did not go. But he said, you know what? God says not to go there. I need to move on. I need to go somewhere else. Now, we need to get that in our spirit so we will understand. If we don't, we're going to stay right there. Did you know that you cannot live at a closed door? But you can die at a closed door. You can have a spiritual death sitting there waiting for that door to open, and God's not anywhere near that place. Because God's got a better plan for you than what you're doing. And so many Christians I find that are laying at a closed door because they got hurt somewhere in a relationship. They got hurt somewhere in a job. I know what it is to have a job. I worked for 27 years, and I got jumped over many times for promotions. But you know what I looked at it? It's like, you know what? If I got jumped over for that job, God's got a better job for me. And I found a better job. Every time a door shut and it looked like I felt dejected and hurt and could have got bitterness and envy and all those things in my life, it's like, you know what? I didn't want the thing anyway. You take care of it. And I watched people come in that were big shot people. They moved them in there, paid them twice as much money as I was making sometimes. And I sit there and I said, it don't matter what they do. My God is going to supply all my needs. And I would watch them come in there and stay about 2 months and fall flat on their face. And they would leave. And then the boss would come and say, you know, I think I said, go ahead and say it, a mistake. He said, yeah, that's exactly what I did. He said, it cost me $40,000 to get this guy moved in here. And he took your job. And he said, you were doing 10 times more than he was. That door opened again. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And I'm not bragging about that, but sometimes we just need to stop and wait on God because we don't know what God's doing sometimes in our lives, but He's got a plan, and that plan has doors in it. And if we will wait till the right door to shut and the right door to open, we will flow in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? No experience. We can learn at a closed door. When we get to a closed door, you ought to just say, you know what? I just enrolled in class 101, patience. Because it's not opening, and I don't know what to do about it. And then class 202 is wisdom. God's going to give you some wisdom about what to do about that door. Because this can be a very good learning experience if we will look at it that way. And realize if I'm going to continue to stand here, even though God's not here, God's going to teach me something about that door. And too many times, most of us have to go to the school of hard knocks. And that is just staying there until we are patient, until we get some wisdom about the thing, and then we will begin to flow out of that situation. But we can learn some great things there. We ought to understand that is also a place of revelation. Our Sunday school class about 3 weeks ago was talking about David, how he was complaining about things one after another. And then all at once he had a revelation of God. And he said, oh God, how great is your mercy. How great is your love. Our Sunday school today was about the love of God and the mercy. How he's forgiven us of our past. Aren't you glad about that? You know, that ought to be an open door to some of you to realize that God loves you. And He has forgiven you of your past. And He has cleansed you and made you whole. That is a reflection. That is a revelation to some people to come to that place and realize God has got an open door for me. It is a revelation for me to move on and leave that door alone. Amen? We are very selective in what we want. He will give you the desires of your heart. He is also, and we need to understand this, He is also a sovereign God and a righteous God and a holy God. The desires of your heart are not always righteous. And we need to come and understand that because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitfully wicked. And we need to know that sometimes is in your heart just like it is mine. We can sit here and say, thank God I'm cleansed and I'm delivered. But how many of you know that we still got this old sinful nature sometimes that follows us around? And sometimes it wants the wrong thing. I'll never forget the story about Woody Allen. Y'all know Woody Allen? You know, he was they call them stars. They're not stars, they're people that make film to me. But nevertheless, they asked him because he was living with Mia Farrow. Y'all remember that girl? And she adopted a little girl. And having this little girl with him, he began to have sexual relationships with the little girl. He was living with Mia Farrow, but he was having sexual relationships with the little girl. And it made the headlines everywhere and how detestable it was. Today it would be normal on TV. That's how far we've deprived mankind. But they asked him and said, why would you do that? Why would you, as old as you are, go with this young girl, your girlfriend's adopted daughter? Why would you do that? And you know, this is his great statement. You know, the heart does what the heart does. The spirit of slap came on me when I heard that. It was like, but you know, you look around and you see that everywhere. People do what their heart leads them into. And we need to know that our heart is wicked and deceitfully done. Only God can change that. And that tells me that I have to keep my heart under wraps and make sure that I'm doing what God wants me to do instead of what my heart tells me. Are y'all hearing me? You see, because we need to be led by the Spirit. How many of you know if we're led by the Spirit, our heart will follow after Spirit things? If we're not led by the Spirit, our heart will run us off down some road and get us in a heap of trouble. I've watched people come, when this road right here, when they had that bridge out right down the street right there, we would go out there. It was almost funny. Gary's not in here this morning, is he? No, he's not. The maintenance guy that works here, Gary Gautreaux. But we would sit out there. We were doing some stuff in the front, and they had a barricade down there by CPC. Big barricade across the road, blinking lights on it. They had seven signs from here to Greenwood Springs Road saying, bridge out, bridge out, bridge out, bridge out, bridge out. And I was amazed at the people that would come driving down through here, wide open, and skid right up to the sign and look at it, just staring at it. And we're sitting there watching them. You know, it's like, what is this I'm going to do? It was almost comical. And they would blow the horn at times. And they would look at it. And then one day a lady got out. She come driving up out there. She has some high heel shoes on this big. She gets out. And boy, she goes and she grabs that sign and throws it in the ditch. And then she gets back in her car and down the road she goes. And I said, okay, let's see. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here she come. All the way back. And she stopped because we were standing out there just watching her. I mean, it was like this, like watching a tennis match. She drives all the way back and she says, why don't they put some signs up down there saying this bridge is out? I said, she don't have a clue. She never saw a sign. You know, and God is opening signs for us everywhere. And we are, sometimes those signs will click in our heart. That would be that check in your spirit when you start to do something and that check says, no, don't do that. Or that check says, yeah, go here or go there. See, we need to listen to that check because that check mostly starts in our spirit. And then it will go in our heart. But if we listen to our heart, I'm going to promise you, we're going to go places and do things we should not do. Because our heart will lead us in the wrong place. Amen? Now, one of the things, let's see. Oh, yeah. How do we react when we're blocked at a door? When your dreams are splashed? Your vision is down. How do we react? Do we act childish or do we act childlike? It's a big difference. Childish says, I'm going to go in that door and I'm going to get what I want when I want it, and I'm going now. And you know that's why God gave us parents. It's one thing my parents used to do. How many of you know that when your two-year-old comes up and they start doing things, they start talking and start walking, that you really realize for the first time that the Bible was true about the spirit of depravity, the depravity of man. You never sit down and tell your kids how to cuss, how to talk, how to eat. I mean, you did teach them how to eat, but you didn't teach them how to be ugly to other people. It was just bound up in their heart. They're going to do what they do. And I'll never forget, one day I was at these people's house, and this kid goes, and he wants to go under the counter where the sink is, where the poison is, the Drano. And the mother was there, and she said, no, you're not going in there. Wah! You know, then you realize, this kid must have a demon or something, you know. And it's like, what happened? I mean, he's been so good. I mean, all he did was just kind of mess a diaper up once in a while. He's been drinking food. Now he's talking back to me when I tell him no. Because a child does not understand. They don't have a concept of that word. You have to teach them that word. And the only thing is, I mean, how many of you are going to let your kids play with a meat cleaver when they're 18 months old? Oh, go ahead, Johnny, get up under the sink. Go ahead. That's Drano right there. That's good for you. That'll just fry you real good. We will get to see the ambulance come to take you out. I mean, you don't reason with your kids about that. You just tell them, no. That's no. That means no. And they may throw a tantrum. They may kick and scream and bubble. I mean, you never know what they're going to do. I go to Walmarts once in a while. And if you really want to go see the depravity of man, you go there. Because you're going to find some in some aisles that's running the world. Two-year-olds. And they got mom right on the end of their little finger. And she's following them along. Well, I'm going to tell you what. That mom's going to have problems with that little rascal when they get 18 years old. You better whip them in the aisle of Walmart or you're going to be bailing them out of jail when they're 18 years old. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You know why? Because they're childish. They never taught them at an early age. And sometimes, as bad as we hate to admit it, we can either be childish about things if we don't get our way, or we can stop and say, I'll be childlike. The Lord is teaching me something because He wants to protect me. He will not let me go behind that closed door because He knows that there's something in there that will harm me. See, we need to think about that sometimes before we ever start pushing on things and just stop and say, what is God's plan? God, I need knowledge and I need wisdom about this door. And if I got to learn it, let me learn it now. I don't want to go through this school again. Amen? The heart wants what it wants. People gravitate from hurt to anger. They get an A in the class of hurt. And then they move right into the class of anger. And then there's confusion. It's a progression that goes. They got hurt. Now they're angry. And they get so angry, but then they become confused. They can't make right decisions about anything because they're so focused on that anger and that hurt. And you know what that leads to every time? When that confusion comes into a person's life and we see that, it usually turns into depression. And you see more people that have depression. I have dealt with inner healings with people in my office before that had so much anger and they entered in depression. But they came in with depression. That's what it manifested itself to. But when you start talking to them and you start working backwards through it, it's pretty well always in that order. Because they got so depressed, and it all started out with anger in their life. And it started out with hurt. And that's where we need forgiveness. That's where we need to come and say, Lord, I am hurt. And I mean, there's times where you've really done things and you know that was right. And you still got hurt about it. But you know what we got to do? We got to nip, like Barney Fife says, we got to nip that thing in the bud right now. Don't let it go any further. We got to take care of it right now. Because if we don't, then you will be confused. You'll get to the place where you get so discouraged, you'll never want to go and see another door, whether it's opened or closed. There are people right now walking the streets, probably in your neighborhood, that have been hurt somewhere in a church, or somewhere by a Christian, or somewhere by a job, or somewhere by a door. And they're still so discouraged. And they're so bewildered about the thing that they never, ever want to make another decision. That's why some people drop off into alcoholism. That's why some people drop off into drugs. That's why some people will never be close to another person because they got hurt in a relationship. You see, we can't afford to stay at these closed doors. We got to take care of things as they begin to pop up. We need to take care of it and say, God has got a better plan. And if God's got a better plan, what am I doing at a door that God is not even at? I need to move on in my life. Amen? Let me tell you this. That scripture. Can you put that one back up there? 16:6, please. Okay, now when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Okay, the next one. And they came to Mysia. And they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Do you think that would be two closed doors? It was. Okay, the next scripture. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. You say, what do? When you get to a door that's closed and you can't go in there. and you still want to serve God, and you still want to do what's right, I want to tell you what to do. Keep going. Don't stop. Just keep doing the right things. You know, when you came here today, some of you came here today, you're hurting. There's things in your life that just feels like it's ripped out of you. You've lost your vision. You've lost your insight. But I want you to know you got to keep moving. We don't have time to stop. It's time to get picked up. We're living in a day and age where I believe the Lord is coming. We sang about the Lord's coming a while ago, and He is coming. And I'm going to tell you what, you look around in the signs of the earth, you look around in the signs of the government, you look around in the signs of the church, you look around at the signs in people's lives, and most of all, you look around at the signs the Bible says, and you're going to see He's right on the threshold of where we are. And we need to be busy about what to do. But we don't have time to sit down and die at a closed door. We need to do like Paul's in those important words, so passing by. You know, when we come to a closed door in our lives and it's closed and we can't get in it, we can't knock it open, we can't do anything, the best thing we can do is like, God ain't there, and neither am I. I'm moving. I'm going somewhere else. I'm not sure where I'm going, but I'm moving. And the Scripture says, can you put that map back up there, please? Wow, is that quick or what? Well, this little light's got some power to it. This is the south. Sometimes when you can't go south and you can't go north, go west, young man. You know, that used to be an old saying, and that's exactly what he did. He left from right here. He made an about face, and he said, I'm not going there, and I'm not going here, because the Holy Spirit said, do not go there. And since he is not there, God is not in those regions, you say, well, does God love those people? Yes, but the timing was wrong. It was not the time to do that, because if you watch the other missions trips that he did, he went and he circled around here and he came all through here, everywhere, all the way back. But the time was wrong. But he waited for the right time, and the Bible says, as he passing by, he went all the way down here to Troas. And when he got to Troas, you know what happened there? He entered nothing. When you run out of land and there's nothing there but the sea, unless you can walk on the water, you're not going any further. But the Bible says that he had a dream, and when he did, he saw a man from Macedonia, and he was saying, come over. Come over to this side. And Paul begins to look at that right here, and a vision appeared to him at Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him. Do you know when God's got an open door, he's going to plead with you? He's going to invite you into that door. I'll never forget one time the guys at work when I was working at the dealership, they said, we need more money. And you got influence with the boss. Why don't you go in there and be our spokesman? I said, sure, I'll go with you. Y'all come with me. I had about 10 of them. And it wasn't my idea. They all said, let's go. We're going to go. You do the talking. We'll be with you. And I said, okay, you're going to pay the consequences? What you going to do if he turns around and says, y'all all fired? Then they all bowed up. I said, well, I'm going. They said, we're going too. We're going. So they all, every one of them, you know, they come walking through there. We get down to the write-up area. That was a gap between where they used to write the tickets and his office. And I go through there. I never let up. I'm just still walking. And I look back, and one by one, they dropped off. All the way back. It's like, wow, I started out with 10, 15, now it's me. But I think I'll go ask him. So I did. I went right up in his office and I said, I'm not making enough money. I'd like to have a raise. He said, sure. I said, what about these other guys? He said, I'm not worried about them other guys. He said, you're the one that asked. I said, thank you. I got $5 an hour more money. And I went out, and they said, well, what did he say? You going to still work here? I said, yeah, man, I'm fixing to buy me another new car. I got me a raise. I got enough money to buy me something new. You know what? When God opens the door, just go on in it. He invites you. It says right there that they appeared. No, that's not the Scripture, is it? Yeah. She's changed on me. Anyway, he pleaded with them, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's an open door. You know, when we find an open door, we need to approach that thing and say, God is in this. God might have shut two doors for me. He might have led me out to the end of the sea to where I'm standing there and my sandals and my toes are hanging in the water. But he's got something right over there. I can see the shore on that side. And if you look at that map, if you've ever been there, you can almost see the outline of that. That is an open door because somebody there will accept and receive the Word of God. And it says when he got there, they received the Word of God. Isn't God good? You know, if we will just listen and look at some of these stories that God has already given us and apply them to our lives, we will see God do some great and mighty things. Amen? Two groups of people that go through closed doors. It will either humble you or it will humiliate you. I promise you, if you go to a closed door and you try to go through there and it's not going to open, it will humble you. But if you keep on trying, it's going to bring you to a place where you get humiliated. And then you're going to come to this. This is another thing that will end up happening to you. It will limit you. You will think, because I can't get through that door, and I've already told people, I think God's opening a door for me, and I think I'm going to go through there. And when you go there and that door is shut, then you just limited God. You look around out of embarrassment because you're humiliated because it did not open and other people are watching you and nothing happened. But you need to understand one thing. God is not unlimited. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God of the possible too. What seems to be impossible to us, God will still open. But we need to know that God will never bring you to a place to humiliate you. You may humiliate yourself because you miss God. But if you do, you know what we can do? We can repent and we can come back into right standing with God. Isn't that great that we have a place that we can go do that? Amen? Keep on honoring God even if you don't understand it. When he closes a door, he brings us to a greater revelation of a greater door of his glory. Now, Acts 16:25-27. Would you put that one up there? Now, here's the Apostle Paul. He suddenly, it says, there was a great... Let me back up. Paul goes here. He gets to this place that they're going, to Macedonia. He begins to share the Word of God with Lydia, a lady who made purple. She gets saved, her whole household. She opens a great invitation for them to stay at her house. And then the Bible says that then they went out on the streets where the people were and began to preach the Word of God. And it says that a young girl who was a fortune teller, whose bosses put her up to that because they made good money off of her being a fortune teller, followed them. She saw them going through the streets preaching the Word of God. And she is constantly bombarding them. In fact, let's turn over there to that scripture. I want you to read this because this is so important. Because a lot of times when God opens a door for you, if we don't see it, we'll miss it. Oh, let's see. Yeah, verse 16. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And the Bible says, and this she did for many days. But Paul, listen to this part now, because sometimes you're going to come to that same place. It says, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. There are going to be people that's going to follow you and they're going to say, this is a great man of God or a great woman of God. They have a great effectual door. They've come here to preach the Word of God. And they're not with you. They don't have the same vision that you. They have not gone through that same authorized door that you've gone. And you're going to have to put your foot down sometimes and say, shut up and get out of here in Jesus' name. Because it will hinder your vision. It will hinder your plan that God has got for your life. Now, you have to watch for those kind of things, even with open doors. And Lord, let's go on now. But anyway, after that instant thing that happened right there, then they come around and they're preaching the Word of God. And the Bible says that the magistrates who was over this young girl got mad because now they're losing money. And it says, and then they began to talk bad about Paul and Silas. And it says that they went to the chiefs of the place there, and they took them and threw them in prison. Now, how many of us would have thought that that's going to be our closed mission right here? We'll probably never get to go any further. We won't get to preach the gospel anymore because these people that run this city got mad because now their income from this fortune-telling young slave girl has no longer existed because people are believing the word of God. And now they're going to put you in jail. And it looks like when those bars closed and they were in the innermost part of that prison in chains and stocks, Paul was in stocks and bonds, amen, but he wasn't at Wall Street. He was in Macedonia. But he's in prison. And you know what they did? The Bible says that Paul was looking at Silas and saying, you know, they beat us up really bad today. They took rods and beat. How many, what you get, what's that knot on the back of your head? Oh, man, you look bad. And then he turns and he says, Paul, you look just about as bad as I do. Look at these bloody marks on us. And the Bible says that they were sitting there. Then they begin to say, this is a day. This is a day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Great and mighty is our God. Of course, they probably couldn't lift their hands. They were probably chained. But they began to rattle those chains with the gospel of, and the Holy Ghost. And probably made music. You know, I don't know. I'm just, it's my sermon. I can say it like I want to say it. But they were probably, you know, their stocks and bonds was probably jingling and their chains was jingling. And they were saying, you know, great and mighty is God. And the Bible says that all of the prisoners begin to listen. And they probably going, yeah, man, that's pretty good stuff going there. Who are they talking about? And they begin to tell what it was all about. And the Bible says when they begin to do that, when they left one door and they moved on to another door, the Bible says then God sent an earthquake. And it says, and it opened all of the doors in the prison. Do you understand when you get to an open door and you're doing what God wants you to do, it's going to open up many doors. And the Bible even says that when the prisoners saw that they had been released, then they were afraid and the jailer was scared because it's like they're going to break jail and they're going to put me in stocks and bonds. They're going to behead me. And Paul says, everybody just stay cool. That's my translation, but that's what he said. Just stay cool. Nothing is wrong here. And then it says, and the prisoners looked and all of their bonds were gone and all of the doors in the prison was open. You say, where are you going with all that? I want to tell you, some of you facing some closed doors today. Some of you really hurt. And if this sermon will do nothing but keep you from getting angry and bitter with God, if it will let every one of us know that a closed door is just as important as an open door, it will help us forever. We'll spend eternity knowing it. That door right there is just as important as one that would be wide open because God is still in control. I'd like for the praise team to come back, if y'all would, Nick. I want you to know when he got to Troas, a door opened. And he began to cross that sea. And they never stopped again. They just kept on opening everywhere he went, all the way through the prison. And you know what we ought to do sometimes is instead of complaining about a closed door, we ought to look at it and say, thank God for that closed door. Thank God. Because I could have went through that door and it could have been something harmful on that other side. Or it might have detained my life. And I don't want to get tied up there. I want to go on. I got things to do for God. God's got things to do in me. And I don't want to get tangled up with a closed door. I'm going to go and I'm going to keep on doing what's right. I'm going to keep on praising Him. And I'm going to keep on sharing the gospel. And it is not going to affect my spiritual walk with Him. Amen? Amen. How many of you know that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? He owns everything that's here. He made everything that's here. You know, we think that the government did it. You know, we think that the housing market. You know, Freddie Mac, you know, get clunker cars. You know, God ain't in none of that kind of stuff. That does not bother God. Amen? You can drag as many clunkers as you want to down there and finance as many houses as you want to. But God's got one house for you. And if you'll seek Him, He'll put you in it. And if you want a car, God will give you a car. But you need to understand, shut some of these doors. Leave them alone. If you're camping out at a door today, it's time to move on from that. It's time to pack your bags and get on going with it. Amen? Another thing I want to share with you before they start. A closed door is an indication that God is not. You won't find Him there. A no at a door means that God is not there. And let me tell you what it'll do. It will change your disrespect to respect to the Lord. It'll turn your anger to joy. It'll turn your strife to peace. It'll turn your dying at that door to living. How many of you want to live today? You know, I don't want to die at a closed door. And they say, well, he just ended up in a bad way. I preached a message the other day at the Hummer place. Had a bunch of people in there. And I was talking about the dash, you know, on your obituary. You know, when they got your tombstone and it was born at this date and passed at this date. And it's got that dash between those dates. And I began to talk about what is your life in that dash. Have you died at a door somewhere? Or do you want to live at a door? Do you want to move on with God? When people look at your life, what are they going to say about it? Well, he did good up till he got to that door. And he died right there. God never did another thing with him. And it's like God wanted to. You wouldn't allow Him to. And it's time to move on from these doors and say, God, I'm going to keep on going. And I'm going to do what You want me to do. Won't y'all stand if you would? Go ahead. While he's getting that ready, I also want to tell you right now, if you're there, closed door, open door, no door, your vision, your purpose in life might feel like it's just been stripped from you. I want you to come. We're going to pray for you this morning. We're going to agree with you. We want to get you past that point. We're going to encourage you to move on today. So I want you to come as they begin to sing. Go ahead.
Holy Lord, most holy Lord, You alone are worthy of my praise. Holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all my heart I'll sing. Great are You.
Losing his job. And they were telling me the other day they may end up losing their home. And they don't really have the money to get something right now. And also Billy's getting at the age that I am, and that's kind of hard to find a job sometimes. Would y'all mind coming back down here? And I want the church to pray for them. See, every one of us is going to go through hard times at times. And when we do, we need to know that we have the support. Why don't y'all turn around? We need to know that we have the support of the church, of the believers of God, to encourage us, to instill the love of God into us. And is that hurt real? Yes, it's real. Is that pain difficult? Yes, it's difficult. Does it blur your vision about the future? Yes, it does. But God's still in control. And I want y'all to pray, and I want you to extend your hands. If you want to come down here and lay hands on them and love on them, that's fine. But I want you to extend your hands the way you would do if it was you in that same predicament. And say, what would I do? I need the encouragement of Christ Jesus in my life. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for Bill and Kathy, Lord God. I thank you for their faithfulness to this church. All these years, Lord God, I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord God, to this body of believers, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you have a plan for them, even though it may look bleak right now, the natural things that we can see and hear. But Lord, we reach out, Lord God, to that open door, even as Paul was passing through and he made it to that Gulf Coast of Taras. Lord God, that you open the great and effectual door. And Lord, as a body of believers, we lay hands on them today. We pray, we agree that you're going to open up great things in their lives. That they're not going to retire, but they're going to refire. Lord God, they're going to see some great things that's going to happen in their life, in their children, Lord God. That their love is going to be extended once again, Lord God, to the people about them, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Touch them today. Touch them, Lord God, today. In Jesus' name, Lord, we look for victory, Lord God. We look for that door to open in their lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We're going to dismiss. They're going to continue to sing. I want you to listen to this song. I was coming to work the other day, and I began to hum this song. And I said, Lord, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. And you stop and you think about how great God is in your life. That he's forgiven you, he's cleansed you, he's healed you. He provides everything that you need. And I want you to sing this song when they sing it again from the bottom of your heart. And just begin to thank God how great he is. How great he's done things in your life. Go ahead, Nick.
With all my heart, I'll sing. want you to take what was said today, take it and live by it. Recognize doors when they're there, but mostly thank God for every door. Just thank God, and you're going to see some great things happen. Amen. Why don't you love on a few people, and you're dismissed, and we'll see you next week. Thank you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.